Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna. Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me back on.
Of course, it is always a pleasure. And today we're discussing IVF. And this really became a conversation in the national spotlight after controversial news out of Alabama last month. The state Supreme Court there ruled that fertilized embryos are considered children. Before we dive into the conversation, what's your thoughts on that ruling?
I've always said that it should be up to the states to decide, especially on those rules. You know, I do support that Roe v. Wade was overturned. However, to my understanding, that ruling has actually been overturned by the state legislature currently. And so I think that they are actually working to protect IVF in that state.
You introduced your own IVF legislation called the Right to Try IVF Act of 2024. Can you tell us what's in the bill?
So what I'm doing is I am looking to basically ensure that if states are receiving federal funds for different programs that would benefit mothers, that they need to allow access for doctors providing IVF services to women that have been clinically and couples that have been clinically diagnosed with infertility. As you know right now, especially because of what's happening with, I believe, our farming industry and then also our mass productions for personal hygiene products, there's been a massive issue with toxins in our products that is leading, in my opinion, to declined fertility rates and honestly an inverted population curve. And so as a result of that, I think that this needs to be a topic of discussion. I don't think that Republicans or Democrats should really be running from this discussion, but I can tell you that I have some people very close to me that have used IVF in a responsible fashion. They have beautiful, amazing families because of it. And I think that it is the least that we can do, especially as a party that's supposed to be advocating families and pro-life.
I've talked to members of Congress from both sides of the aisle, and IVF has touched everyone I've talked to. So as of right now, is this, I know it's a bipartisan issue, but does your legislation have bipartisan support?
So we just recently introduced our legislation. We are working to get as many people on that as possible. And I will say, I do wish previously that I had had a chance to actually amend the bill that was introduced, but I think because of timing, the staff, unfortunately, in the Democrat bill put me on it without obviously authorization. And then I had to remove myself and we had to basically work on our own. So we are working on that. But again, you know, I think that this is one of those topics that everyone, like you said, has been touched by this. I think when it's done responsibly, it can be a very beautiful thing. And I think that we need to make sure that, you know, people have the right to have families.
Let's talk about that bill that you mentioned just a little bit. I spoke with Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz earlier this month. She co-sponsored the bill. It was the Access to Family Building Act. She told me that the bill would codify IVF access. She also told me that some Republicans took their name off of the bill. You tweeted this about the legislation. Quote, I was added to this bill without confirmation. There are amendments that need to take place before I decide to sponsor. And thus, my team will be working to come to an agreement to get bipartisan legislation on the table. First, what gave you pause when it came to this legislation? And second, can you give us any insight to what those amendments would be?
Yeah, so if you look at my legislation, it actually goes forward and it targets specific federal funding that certain states would want in order to basically benefit their constituents. So if you're going to get federal funds, then you should be required to ensure that funds that you're getting is also being able to be used for individuals that are seeking IVF. And so it would take more of a federalist approach. You know, the other legislation, I believe, potentially allows loopholes for abortion. And so I will say that there's a very big difference between IVF and abortion. One creates life, one takes life. And so I wanted to ensure that my legislation specifically was focusing on making life and not allowing for any other loopholes. But I will say, you know, unfortunately, this is politics. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and even saying that, you know, she's had a really big problem with me since I got elected. And I'm sure a lot of women who are watching this have also had sometimes issues with other women in the workplace. And so I wouldn't necessarily look at her for answers on why I took my name off the bill.
She called Republicans taking their names off the bill. To me, she said it was a form of MAGA extremism. What do you make of that?
You know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz actually refused to put her name on my post office, which might sound silly, but in Congress, if you're going to get a post office, you have to have everyone in your delegation do it. And her reasoning was, I didn't say hi to her at a picnic. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I pray for on a regular basis, but I think that she needs to get her priorities straight.
Back to the conversation of IVF, do you support codifying IVF protections into law?
I support making sure that we have a federalist approach on this matter. So again, if you look at my bill and how it's actually written, what we do is we go after funding specifically. I think the federal government in regards to overreach needs to be very careful that we're not violating a state's rights. And that's exactly why our founding fathers wrote the Constitution the way that they did. And so my bill specifically ensures that, one, we are using the power of the purse as Congress, but it also makes sure that there's no federal government overreach. So it basically says, if you as a state are seeking this funding, then you need to ensure that you are not violating an individual's right to try IVF in the event that they are clinically diagnosed with infertility.
Congresswoman, I feel really grateful. You and I have had a few conversations, and the very first one we had was about legislation you were introducing to talk about proxy voting if you were on maternity leave in Congress. And this one now is about IVF. And you said this to Vanity Fair: I didn't anticipate being the one leading the charge, but here I am. Can you talk a little bit about that for us? Why are you at the forefront of these types of issues?
I think it's because I'm, again, the youngest female member of Congress on the Republican side. As you know, we're in the majority, but also too, these issues unfortunately have not been addressed previously by other members that have given birth. You know, I want to go back to the topic of IVF for a second. You would think that this is supposed to be bipartisan, but what we saw recently is right after the Alabama ruling, I mean, I was literally placed on a bill without my permission. And ultimately, because I had to remove my name then, you know, you had Democrats trying to make this a partisan issue, saying that Republicans didn't support it when it simply wasn't true. And then I recently saw a press conference with Christina Aguilera and Jill Biden saying that Republicans were somehow trying to block, at the federal level, were trying to block IVF legislation, which again was also not true. And then even just hearing some of the comments that you just had read to me, it seems like Democrats are trying to, you know, paint me the one person that is supportive of this on the Republican side and really helping to lead out this effort as some extremist that's trying to ban it, which is simply not the case. So I think that, you know, I have been, in a sense, kind of thrust into this position, which I don't mind, and I don't mind having those hard conversations. But again, previously, you know, childbirth in Washington, D.C. is not common. I think I stated to you on a previous interview that, you know, I'm, what, 0.01% of the members that have ever given birth. And so I would hope that those same people that are voicing how supportive they are on IVF would not make it partisan, and I would gladly have them on both my vote by proxy bill and also my IVF bill. But if you look at the names of the people that say one thing, and if they're willing to actually put their money where their mouth is, you can see and make those answers yourself.
I want to talk about the logistics here a little bit. When you say that you were added to this bill without confirmation, what does that mean, and how common is that?
So typically when members will get another member on the bill, what happens is they bring a floor card. It kind of has the loose pitch, maybe top bullet points of what the legislation is. And then the member will say, you know, I'll look at it more. I'm going to bring it back to my staff. In this current event with what's happened with the IVF bill, you know, I was approached on the floor. The Democrats know that I've co-sponsored previous IVF legislation. So I'm kind of one of the few Republicans that will actually help to champion a bill like that. You know, there are many people that support it, but they don't want to be the ones taking charge on it. So they came to me, talked to me about it. I said, you know, let me take a look at it. Okay, fine. But because of what happened with the ruling, I think the staff in the other office added me to it, and then they pushed it forward to say, hey, look, we have a IVF bipartisan piece of legislation. And as you guys know, there were some things that brought me some concern. And so we wanted to remove ourselves, and then they try to say that I was not IVF when I, pro-IVF when I am. And so that's why you kind of saw that happen. So to answer your question, basically in short, it is not common for someone to be added without their permission. But unfortunately, in this circumstance, I was.
When you say many support it, but few take charge, why do you think that is?
I think that a lot of people don't want to get involved in this discussion of what constitutes life. If IVF is considered abortion, what is IVF? It's a topic that, unless you really, I think, have a strong biology background, a strong science background, I think it can be confusing to some. And so that's why I say that when IVF is done in a responsible fashion, I don't know if you guys remember that story of Octomom a few years back. But I remember the story, and there's a reason why it's not common practice now for doctors to do that. It can put the mother and the children at risk. And also this concept of, you know, what happens with the frozen embryos. There's a massive discussion that I think with current science needs to be had. But I think that it would, when it's done again, in a very responsible fashion. You have clinical diagnosis under doctor supervision. You could even do a one embryo, one fertilization transfer. That's something that hasn't been discussed before, but people don't want to have that conversation because they don't want to get hit from their side. They don't want to get hit from other sides. But, you know, I've had awkward discussions before, and so I don't shy away from it.
Abortion, reproductive freedoms are a third rail issue almost in this country. They're extremely political. And I do want to talk about reproductive rights a little bit more broadly. Ever since Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022, we saw Democrats really galvanize voters around this issue of abortion access. And more broadly, do you think Republicans are losing to Democrats when it comes to messaging around these types of issues?
No, I think that Democrats that talk about that issue are, one, they don't know how to read the Constitution. They don't know what the Constitution means. It's a states' rights issue. It's not supposed to be a federal issue. And I believe that the initial ruling on that was unconstitutional, which was why it was overturned recently. A lot of people don't realize that. You know, federally, we shouldn't be voting on that. That should be up to the states to decide. And frankly, if you don't like it, move out of your state, move somewhere else. But honestly, that's exactly how our founding fathers engineered our country, and that's really the beauty of, I think, this job and this position. So I think a lot of people said, well, would you ever vote to federally ban it? And I again say that is a states' rights issue. Anyone that will tell you that Congress is up here and going to vote on that, they're just trying to get you to the polls to vote for them. They know damn well that that's not going to happen. But I will say this, I am personally pro-life, and I do believe that life begins at conception. And I am a mom. I have, you know, family members that have had babies via IVF. And so what I will tell you is that it can be done responsibly, but I really, really hate when people try to take this conversation out of context, because it's not like they're doing it to actually help people, right? Like, you kind of saw the debacle that happened with really how they try to paint me, and here I am actually trying to help the issue. So I think that the more that we have these discussions, the more that we can take this conversation and just have it in a respectful fashion, I think it can bring a lot of good. But I also want to clarify that there's a really big difference between IVF and abortion. And so for any one side to say that it's one and the same is simply false.
The majority of Americans do believe that, or don't support the overturnal of Roe v. Wade. And I am curious, do you think that Republicans need to come to more of a consensus when it comes to this topic? Because we've seen some say there should be a ban after 6 weeks. Donald Trump, in an interview this past weekend, said that he wasn't completely opposed to the idea of 16 weeks, but he didn't say that that was going to be for certain. But do you think that there needs to be more consensus from your party?
I think that there needs to be more of a clarification on what that means to people, because a majority of people thought that in that overturning that it was going to outlaw abortion altogether, which actually was not true. It would go back to the states to decide. But again, that goes into the national messaging of what it actually means to have a government that has been engineered the way that it has. And so, you know, if you want my personal opinion, if I were in a state legislature, I'd say, hey, look, you know, we need to look at the science. There's been massive developments in science since the actual initial ruling. And I think that that would help people make better decisions and really understand what constitutes life. You know, my personal belief and perspective is I actually really came to my conclusion on my opinion on this matter after a developmental biology course where I actually went and I actually had to cut the limb off of a developing chicken. And I saw what happened when I had the scalpel underneath that microscope. And so we can get into my personal beliefs, but look, I'm federally legislating. I'm not at the state level. So my state of Florida, I support their decisions, but I can tell you that in the federal government, that's not something that we are addressing. And so there is a lot of clarification. But again, in this business, what I found is people do things because they want power. They do things without the intention of actually understanding how that's going to affect people. They simply just want to get reelected. And I'm not going to play that game.
Do you think then, to that point, there's anything missing from the national conversation when it comes to IVF?
Yeah, I think that more people need to say, hey, look, we know people that have been impacted by this. I think Congress has one ability, that is to use the power of the purse. And so if they're serious about that, they need to say, hey, look, people should have the right to try this. And I want to just point out that I actually did try to model this after what President Trump did with the right to try experimental treatments for those that were terminally ill. I think that, you know, we have a lot of people, they might not necessarily tell you, especially women in the workforce that might be a little bit older, that they are struggling with infertility. I think that as we see the population decline and we see infertility rates rise, I think that this is going to be a more common approach. And I think that this should be more of a topic of discussion. But again, it's expensive. A lot of people can't afford this. People are sometimes sometimes moving to different states as a result of this. And so I really just hate the fact that people are making this political. It shouldn't be. But again, going back to, you know, common sense approach in Washington, I also didn't know that there wasn't any such thing as maternity leave for Congress members. And yet, you know, here we are having the same discussion. So I think there's more to come on this topic.
Congresswoman, as there is more to come to on this topic, as the situation develops, I hope you come back on, join us, break it down on a variety of issues. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks.